Здравствуйте, дорогие друзья, наш воскресный вебинар.
Hello, dear friends. Sunday's usual lesson with Michael Lightman in the studio. Hello, everyone. Boris is here, and our subject today is the effort and the reward. That is the subject. We have translation to groups. Many groups are connected. You can ask questions. Our subject is inner contemplation, efforts, and the reward. What I'm interested is, do we get rewarded according to how much effort we make? We get a reward for our efforts, but it's not like in our world that you can conclude between you, I demand more salary on less work, and you as a boss offer me less reward for more work. So we negotiate. Here, there, we don't have that. But here I'm connected to the whole thing. The issue is that I'm working all the time against the upper light, and the more I, in accordance with it, it goes into me, and that's the reward. So there's no place to negotiate. There's no decisions or incorrect actions or results. But rather, everything is precise in the laws of nature. Senka, can you explain the conflict, the lack of logic in the sentence, I arrived and I found? I found, Rav says, I found lights because in advance I don't know the light I will receive because I never felt it. That same attainment that I'll reveal for me is correct. For now, right now, it's a secret. I know it will come, but how, when? I can't really say because I'm not prepared. I don't yet have any vessels for receiving this information, this feeling. And then I could say, I'm going towards that. Meaning, I do know that I'm going toward the next stage, to a higher stage of bestowal and connection with the whole system that's called love. Love is only a mutual connection inside the system. Any system that we create, let's say there's different things inside the system, springs, etc. If it works properly, the parts are in love. They're in complete understanding of one another. They have a mutual way of relating to each other inside the connection. Therefore, here it's the same thing. So I make efforts, and like we say, an annulment and thinking about others, an annulment of yourself, of course, but otherwise you won't integrate in the system. But I don't know when I'll get the reward. What reward? The integration in the system, that's the reward. Imagine a system that's connected in a mutual manner completely, and everything happens in live, in an analog mode. And if I'm integrated inside the system, then I exist in it. And just for the sake of my existing in the system, that's my reward. And if I'm not in the system, then I need to work on myself to be integrated in the system, to go inside it, to be connected with it in an integral way. This is my work. Senka. Okay, last question. When I connect to this system, it's unknown to me, right? I made an effort. I don't know. I don't even know exactly what the right fine-tuning is necessary left for me to be integrated into this system in a precise manner. Because of all the springs and cables in the system, I don't know exactly what I need to take now as it might change. I just have to annul myself for them to format me toward them. And only in this manner it will succeed. No other way. In principle, our goal altogether, the goal is to annul my I, so that the rest of the system, the electronic or human, that the system itself will format me for it. I give myself to the system. That's the condition of Tzimtzum Aleph. Boris. Rav. If the friends ask questions, you'll ask me, right? Yes, we're already getting questions. And we'll start with the article. From the attainment of the Kabbalist who said a person who receives pleasure that he doesn't deserve feels shame, and the pleasure turns to suffering. And to prevent it, the world was created, and in this world the creature makes an effort and then receives pleasure without feeling shame. So there's a question. How can pleasure transform to suffering? Rav. If I connect or try to connect to the system, and at the end of the day it turns out that my connection is egoistic, meaning I'm not an integral part of the system, I'm not bringing the system to a more connected, harmonious work.
Именно нашей общей работы и ее результатами.
And I'm not enjoying all our work together with others or the result of our collaborative effort, but I do attain for myself personally some kind of positive result that may appear egoistic, and then I somehow have two results out of my work. The egoistic result can be seen by myself as positive. This altruistic result, the connection with others, can be perceived, I can call it negative. It's possible that there's another egoistic element that I see as pleasant, and at the same time I begin to retain, to understand how much I stole from myself. From the perspective of integration, I stole the eternal perfect system, and then inside I have a feeling of very sharp scissors, a conflict that apparently whetted my did spiritually and caused a corporeal problem. And then I learn how to correct the situation. So it turns out from this excerpt that this world was made not to suffer from shame. That's how it works out. No. Maybe it looks like that the first time you read it. Nothing was created for nothing. If shame was created, it wasn't created for us to suffer from it, but rather to use it in a way, through its help, the help of the shame, we will reach higher spiritual realms. To transform this shame to some positive element to advance. But apart from that, I will also develop this shame, I will nurture it, I'll take advantage of it, with a bigger desire, since the conflicting different feelings of shame will help me understand where I am in this spiritual system, how I can be more connected perfectly with them, with the system, so that any feeling of shame or rejection or getting closer, not enough, from my exchanging one with the other, everything that our ego is pushing us to do, what our ego is doing, all kinds of little problems. So through this feeling of shame, I can correct all this. Because if it wasn't for the shame, I wouldn't feel anything from it. I would simply use and take advantage of everything in me. What's the difference between a rude person and an intelligent person, if you can call them that? A rude person doesn't feel shame. It's possible that shame somehow exists in him, and he won't feel it immediately, so he's taking advantage without any conscience or anything. He's using everything. and maybe a more sensitive, intelligent person will feel shame from taking advantage of his ego, at least in the eyes of others. And he's not just hiding it, he's trying to get past it. So we can use our earthly shame for spiritual shame? Yes. Our earthly shame can cause us to understand more what is spiritual shame is, but we don't use our corporal shame properly. That's why I need more shame, and that's better. If I'll be ashamed properly, it will bring me to correction quicker. So it's a serious thing for taking me forward. It's very powerful. We have nothing else against the ego. Only when it starts to feel how lowly it is, how unsuccessful it is. That's shame. What is pleasure that I deserve and pleasure that I don't deserve? Pleasure that I don't deserve, let's say I won the lottery, a serious amount of money, and now I can buy myself a villa in the Maldives, and until for the rest of my life, I don't have to take anything from anyone, and that's why I have to suffer? No, no. That's a pleasure that I didn't earn, that I don't deserve. It came to me means I need to pay for it with my effort to earn it. And pleasure that I do deserve is when I surely know what I need to attain, do my efforts in it, and receive pleasure or reward that I deserve precisely against my efforts. And then all the effort that I put into it with the reward that I'm going to receive create in me a new level of consciousness and recognition, and then I can truly enjoy it fully. And not like some little kid that out of the sky he got some interesting toy and he's playing with the toy and nothing apart from a velo island and his own yacht. I know people that live that way, but they just stay like that till the rest of their lives. It's interesting that Bala Sulam writes that if a person gets a reward that he doesn't deserve, didn't earn, it brings him shame and suffering. Rav, it depends who. You have to be developed. Meaning, if a person is already in spiritual stages, then the reward that he didn't deserve or didn't earn, then he gets it as a punishment. If I was born as somebody who wants to, as a will to receive, how can the pleasure not be deserving? I was born to receive. No, we were not created to enjoy what we have, like we have today in front of us. We see that the system of pleasures, our system of pleasures, does not give us or promise us eternal pleasure, eternally, non-stop, pleasure that we can really be filled from. We see that our world is only preparing us for the true pleasure, meaning it's giving us certain tools. It's preparing us, and the true pleasure is eternal, perfect, never-ending, that can only happen at another calculation, not our egoistic calculation, because any egoistic pleasure, the minute it goes into our ego, the ego starts to respect that pleasure. We've gone through many years of our lives, and each of us can imagine for himself how many pleasures in our life we've gone through, and where have they all disappeared to? They've just disappeared as if they never happened. That's how it is. They come and they go. That's not pleasure. Pleasure that leaves after it tracks, leaves a bit of taste. If it's a true pleasure, it has to be eternal, perfect. the pleasure shouldn't disappear, but rather add to itself more and more pleasure. And these pleasures should be without any sin. It shouldn't leave me aftertaste, a bitter aftertaste that I didn't earn it or it belongs to someone else, that I'm not aware of it enough and don't recognize it enough for my development to receive all this pleasure. We have to have very serious preparation. Therefore, we don't immediately receive access to the upper world, but only years after years are required to suit ourselves to the system of upper pleasures, of filling. Precisely because, and for to create such desires that this pleasure would be able to break in them and also develop. We have many reactions. If a person was born healthy, talented, rich, and he's enjoying it, did he earn it or not? There's another question. When a boy is born in Africa without food or water, does he deserve the suffering? Neither this or that. It's just how it happened. None of us doesn't feel any bad conscience because it comes from the Creator. Let's not talk about happiness and miserableness, but let's talk about knowledge or the abilities or attributes, talents. Let's say I have a certain talent and somebody else doesn't have that talent. What, I should be ashamed? If I try to take advantage of my talent for the sake of everyone, then I shouldn't have any shame. I received it from the Creator. I shouldn't feel bad about it. When you say that the talent was given to a person only for this, to do for others, yes, of course. Let's say a dog or a boy is a creature. What's a creature? A creature is called not what the Creator created, meaning it's not desire that the Creator created, and also not the light that comes from Him. The creature is called what the person builds, the connection between his desire and filling. The creature is called tzimtzum, constriction, the screen, the returning light, which are the bridge that connect between filling and the point of filling, the desire. Senka, an eternal question. How does the upper governance control us, and how can a person control it? Rav. Apart from free will, everything else, everything else is under the Creator's control. So apart from free will, that's the question. Where is it? Rav. Free will is at any given moment to determine what I can add to get closer to others. This format to connect all the elements, this sketch that we have, all the things in like an electronic component, screws in one system. That's our goal. Am I capable of doing it with greater success at any given moment or not? In principle, I'm always going to do it anyhow, and I won't run away from it. But the question is, will I invest my efforts in this, or will the upper light, the Creator, force me to? So between these two options, I have my free choice. Or I myself desire to advance, to connect with everyone, or I will be forced to do so. That's the free will. Therefore, in principle, free will, like Bala Sulam writes about in his article, freedom of liberty, is speaking about how to integrate in the environment and receive from it desires and goals and implement them. Another question. What is a person's work on himself in the wisdom of Kabbalah? What do I need to know about myself? What do I need to correct in myself? What is a person's work on himself? I need to find, like Rabash says, a group to try. I must try to get into the group. I must try to integrate into it and disappear in it and do everything that the group demands of me to create between us a condition of the 10 spherot for the Creator to be revealed. That's not simple, Rav. It's not simple, but that's what nature is demanding. All of man's nature disagrees with it. It doesn't matter that we disagree with it. There's nowhere to run to. Either we'll disagree with it and we'll be bent, we'll be broken, or we ourselves, from recognizing the need, we will start to advance. By the way, just see how many big groups are sitting in front of us. Moscow, Peter, many groups from all over the world. So we're a great force if we begin to help one another. Now we have a Congress coming up in the States. We'll hope that it will connect us in a serious way, that we'll be able to connect between us and speak and connect to also with New Jersey. And in this way, we'll succeed even more to connect our forces, to connect to such an extent that they will become, that they will go through a critical stage and they will become united. We're being asked, if the rest of humans weren't created, they're just animal, earthly animals, why should I get closer to them, and why should something that interests me not interest them? It's Roman from Italy. You need to understand that all other humans are not like you. Each of them has their own part, and these are necessary elements in the system. You have to work on yourself to get closer to them and try to convey to them this upper information and give them the ability to connect to this information to the extent that we all connect to this general system that's called love thy neighbor as thyself. And to the same degree, we will raise our world up to the next stage. I don't think there are people in the world or organizations or any religions or methods that are against, how can we put it, that are against this call, love thy neighbor as thyself. Because we all understand. We understand that an integral, connected, the world is connected, and we have to do something. If we continue being divided, ripped apart, and broken, will bring this world to a catastrophe. And the opposite is true. Ask the scientists. If we become one body and try to connect between us, these cells of the body, if they start operating together, then it will start, this body will start to be alive, will start upper life. Our lives will be upper lives. We'll feel ourselves existing in a spiritual field. More questions about pleasure. Let's read some more. Comparing between efforts and pleasures. How can we compare a person's efforts throughout his years, limited years in this world, to eternal pleasure? We see that effort doesn't cover the pleasure, and the goal of creation isn't attained. That's true. Here in this question, the serious problem is revealed. This is what all the other methods and religions say, that now you will invest efforts and then you will receive reward. Meaning, in this world, you have to make efforts to do all kinds of acts that the Creator likes. But a few of the, to the extent that you do these acts in this world, then you will get the eternal world. So what should we do with shame and unrighteous and unfairness in the world? That I worked here for a few years, I limited myself in something, and for that I receive a great pleasure that I don't really deserve. Is such a thing possible? Of course, everyone's trying to get away from this question, but the wisdom of Kabbalah answers it in a very simple manner. What you invest in this world to attain unity in one system, you in that same system, to the extent of your connection, precisely will receive reward, revelation of the upper world. So there's no conflict here. If you're working in this world, and after your death, you'll receive upper reward, eternal life, perfect. Virgins are waiting for you there and will drink the meals. You'll be walking on clouds with some violin. Of course, there's no such thing, but rather precisely out of attainment in this world, from a person attaining the correct connection between us, then we organize this connection that is revealed, in which is revealed the Creator in this world, in this life. We need to do it. And to the extent of our effort, we will receive a reward. And if you do not attain, then you will not receive. So there's nothing to be ashamed of, but rather just reward. Reward for the correct work. You can even call it salary. But what you yourself did yourself. Therefore, there's nothing to be ashamed of. And precisely this situation is called heaven, the next world, the upper world. It's what you attain in the correct connection with your peers, with your friends. I will finish the article. Apart from comparing between a long effort and eternal pleasure, they're talking about quality. Balasulam says the eternal pleasure that we receive is similar to a present that he received, because you can't compare between the work and the present. The work is done in this world that has no value, and the reward belongs to the upper world, meaning the work in this world and the reward is made up of a different attribute altogether. So effort and the reward are completely on a different spiritual level. To the extent that I invest, that's how much I'll receive. And all this is attained in this world, during this life. As it says, as it is written, you will see the world in this life. And precisely for that, this is why we're meeting, and this is why we need to strive for. In which units does the wisdom of Kabbalah measure unity or closeness? Why is the extent of connection equals spiritual pleasure? That's not true. I will say, and I'm sure you've already heard this. I don't know how much you learned it, but there is the ego, which is 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, meaning 5 levels, including the root. The levels of the ego, if I rise above this ego and transform it to altruism, then I will get spiritual stages, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Or we can call these worlds Asiya, Yitzhara, Asiya, and Biriya, Yatsalut, and so on. Everything is degrees. All 125 of them, they're all graduated. And the requirements to ascend to each one of them, how to stop them, how to do certain spiritual actions on them, and to receive the light hidden in these spiritual degrees. These are very specific degrees, and they're so accurate that this kind of accuracy just doesn't exist in our world. We know that in this world we need to prove everything, including 1 plus 1. But in the spiritual world, these proofs are part of the structure of the upper world, because it comprises two opposites, the light and the desire that's birthed by the light. For a frequent question, how do we receive pleasure for the sake of the Creator if we can't feel the Creator receiving pleasure, delighting from my receiving from Him? Rav, you cannot receive that from Him right now, because it would be pleasure from you, and that would be the impetus for your work. That cannot be, because then your actions will not be altruistic, but egoistic, and you would not be able to escape them. So, for as long as you do not have the strength of the screen in you yet, that you can be above the egoistic results of your actions, you're not going to be able to see what you're doing. Even though for a long time, perhaps you've already been doing the right actions, but you're not going to be able to see them. Host. So it's like I'm always training, working out almost. Well, yes, you're working, you're training to learn to act correctly, so not get corrupted until then. Question. Reward is the revelation of the truth, Rav? Yes. Host, question, can we and should we evaluate our efforts? If so, how do we do that? Do we need to evaluate our efforts? Rav, I cannot evaluate my efforts right now, because I don't have a clear measurement between my desires, the light, the opportunities, the screen, my abilities. I don't have any way of working with all of my inner elements correctly. But in the future, I will be able to do that after the screen, after I acquire the screen, meaning the anti-egoistic screen that will allow me to work independently of what's happening in my ego, whether it feels good or bad. I will work above Him for the sake of the creation of the common clean. Then I will be able to determine and measure all of my efforts very accurately, see what light I receive in them, and so on. Host. So until then, I'm working blind and before my screen? Rav, yes. Host. Yes, like Michael said, you know, when you're working out, you can see your muscles grow, but here you don't, Rav. Yeah, the issue is that when you see your muscles grow, that's already a reward that you're going to be working toward. So here, in order to not confuse us, we're not shown how far we've grown, so as to not corrupt us, and we can continue making efforts without seeing the reward that we're getting selflessly, unconditionally. Host. In what is the measurement of truth in all of our states? Rav, the measurement of truth is the screen when I can act above my egoistic desires, fulfillments. The truth is, if I have an egoistic desire, a passionate egoistic desire, and it is fulfilled, and I am above it as if I didn't receive anything, then my state can be called truth. Host. So there is no truth in this world. Well, in our world, yeah, of course not. Host, okay. From Hamburg, we have a question. Does the Kabbalist change his corporeal behavior as he acquires spiritual attainment? Rav, I don't know who can see that. I didn't see that with my teacher or some of the other Kabbalists that I have met over my life. No. What can he do differently? How can he act differently? He doesn't harm other people in a clear way. You can say yes, but he could have done this or that. You can already speculate with your thoughts what you would do in his stead, but essentially, aside from harm to others, you cannot say anything else about a Kabbalist. Host, aside from the fact that, aside from him not harming anyone directly, well, yes, that he absolutely he can't do. But even then, it's what you might consider harming or not. There might have been times in history where a Kabbalist killed a person. Because he could recognize it as a very particular incarnation of evil. Host. But we could look at it, you know, look at the situation and say, why couldn't you give this person money? He's poor. Rough. But that's your perception of things. In Kabbalah, that's not called a good action anyway. Host. What is the free, willpower from the standpoint of Kabbalah? Rough. Willpower is the ability to rise above your reason and to act against it, in spite of it. Host, but you still do some action, yes? Rav, you do an action, of course, but it's in spite of your reason. Host, why do you say that the whole world is me, but then the Creator, like, isn't the Creator the whole world and we're all elements in it? Rav, yes, it's all the same thing, but we cannot attain it yet. I'm looking at the groups sitting before me. It gives me great pleasure to see Vilnius, Plovdiv, these large groups. We don't feel that we're all part of one system. It's very difficult for us to imagine this. But I think that it will manifest. Question. A special incarnation of evil that merits a certain reaction from a Kabbalist. You spoke about that. But what is a special incarnation of goodness? Rav. In our world, there is no incarnation of goodness or evil, really. Because good and evil, these are spiritual qualities. They're concealed from us. Our world is this tiny, distant, remote state from all the spiritual, where these small fluctuations take place, plus, minus, in order for us to play, like a child is given, like some toys, put in a sandbox. This is what we do, but no more than that. But even that is good if we begin to build from our agar sandbox something similar to what the adults are doing. This is already us drawing closer to certain work. The rest of the world doesn't do that. Building the group is the main thing, the most important thing that we can do, the only thing, the only correct thing, where we can create between us a spiritual clay, a spiritual vessel, the soul, practically. We collect all the pieces of the soul, all my friends that I begin working with. Let's say I have a group of 10 people, and we begin to connect with our thoughts, with our feelings, and we try to connect in such a combination between us where it would seem to us where we are completing a full, whole spiritual construct. Question. Sochi, we have a question from Sochi. Sergey from Sochi. Rob, I didn't see him today. I noticed. You think I don't notice? I see that he wasn't there. Host. Okay, so Sergey from Sochi is asking, how do we know if I'm connected to the system egoistically or in an integral manner? Can I connect to the system egoistically at all? Rob, of course you can connect egoistically to the system, just like you can connect altruistically. Altruistically, we call it integral connection. What's the difference between them? What am I putting at the head? Either the Creator, who needs to be revealed in the system and I'm working towards it, or I'm using the system and the Creator to work for me. Question. Alexander from Russia asks, what should the creature desire? Rob, the creature should desire the unification of all things, all desires and intentions, all qualities, everything that exists, into one common system in which it will feel the world of infinity. Question. Can I imagine myself as like a corrupted flash drive to be given over to be reformatted? Robin, who's going to reformat it? Like, I understand that he regards himself as a flash drive that's just full of garbage and corrupt files. That's true, that's right. But who's going to format it? You need to be the one to do it. You need to be the active element. Host, can I give this flash drive over to the group? Rob, no. Well, it's with the help of the group, of course, but you need to actively participate in this. Host, question from Lvov. What is the role of undeserved reward in the spiritual? Rav, I cannot imagine this. I cannot imagine. It can be certain actions, and they exist in the Torah, they are described. I just don't want to get distracted. But these are actions that cannot happen to us, but only in the shattering. Everything that happens today, we're already coming closer to the end of the correction of the common kli. Everything happens according to a very specific system, analysis, discernment, and the filling of these parts with the light, the Creator. Host, we have a question here. If I am part of a system and the entire system is part of me or in me, but I'm always working for myself because all of this is in me, right? Rough. Yes, but you don't think that now, do you? It doesn't seem that way now to you, so it's a contradiction within yourself. Host. Question, how can I connect to others if I don't know who I am or who others are? I don't know where I'm in them or they're in me. Rav, you have the 10 before you, right? Connect to them and resolve all the questions there. host. So you're very like a materialist, right? You have these people in front of you, and you should work with them only. Rob, absolutely right. This world is given to us for a purpose, and we have this sensation that we're all different. We're all individuals, and it's all for a purpose. We need to work with this, and we need to use this to our advantage. Host, yes, and everyone has their own personalities and so on. Rav, yes, absolutely, and I feel that they're outside of me. Host, so what is my purpose specifically with them? Rav, to unite together so that we feel just one whole analog system. Host, question from Nizhny Novgorod. We see that we sometimes we're able to make effort, sometimes we're not. Everything is points to us not being able to be in charge of our own efforts. If so, what kind of efforts are we talking about that we can make? Like, what's the point of it? Rav, well, even the fact that where I can feel, I can see that I cannot make an action to receive a reward, that's already a reward in itself. We have studied the articles of Rabash about the group, right? They talk about exactly what we need to do. And the American Congress is around the corner as well, right? Like 10 days from now, basically, it's going to begin the Congress. So let's prepare for all of us to connect together in one movement, one motion, all together into our unity. It is a great power. Imagine how many efforts currently are being spent in all the countries of the world where our friends exist. We have friends practically all over the world, in every country we have friends. Well, let's prepare for this. Let's prepare well. We will see each other. We will meet again in a week. But let's already start preparing to conduct this Congress in the most dazzling way possible, and to connect together internally, for it to give us a big push. We already gone through so many different preliminary stages that essentially I think we can discover ourselves existing in the net and a web of altruistic forces above our ego, to start feeling even a little bit the smallest spiritual qualities between us, not in each and every one of us, but between us. Like right now, the way that I relate to others, I will suddenly see that I have certain spiritual qualities, desires, motions, that what I want for them and what I feel from them. And there is a web that appears between us, that connects us. And in this web, the Creator is revealed. This is what we can do. This is what this Congress is for. And I implore you, talk about it in advance. Discuss where you're going to be, what lessons you're going to watch, or maybe the whole Congress. Prepare in advance. Stock up on food, free yourself of all problems, so that you would be able to dissolve among all of us. Host, question. If you say that we're already coming close to the end of spiritual correction, Rav, no, we're coming to the beginning of spiritual correction. Host, okay, so if we're coming to the beginning of the spiritual correction, why is everything in the world so horrible and is moving towards the Third World War? Rav, precisely in order to push us forward, either through suffering, through a world war, which is indeed possible, or through us changing the world and starting to manifest the positive forces through ourselves, between ourselves. Host, so you're saying it's either through the Congress or through a world war? Rav, yes, absolutely. Host, okay, we have a question from Romania. if who determined this game and why is it necessary to make an effort for and where the purpose is reward? Rav, well, I'm not sure what she means by the purpose being reward. What reward am I seeking? If the reward that I'm seeking is to see all creatures absolutely existing at the very highest level of development, where everyone is completely interconnected into one system, and in this system, the very highest light is revealed, called the Creator. This is the highest reward that each and every one of us desires to attain. Host, let's go back to the foundations of Kabbalah. At the very first part of Talmud Esra Sefirot, it says that the creature must attain the light of life. What is the light of life? Well, it's the light of love and bestowal. Host, from Warsaw, we have a question. If the world is an illusion, why do I need to bring light into this illusion? Rav, illusion means that it seems to us this way in our qualities. If we change our qualities, we will change our perception of the world. Or we'll go through it. I say, yeah, it's Rabriya, it's Lut, and so on. Host, the question is it by changing myself, do I change the picture of the world around me? Rav, yes, absolutely. I begin to see different things in the world, different meanings in the world. Host, what is the difference between feeling the upper governments before it fills me and after? Rav, the upper governance, upper influence is amorphous upper light, even upper light that just fills infinity. When it fills me, according to my qualities. That's why it is immediately acquires its qualities. Host, question, how can light be homogeneous? What devices is it measured by, and by whom? Rav, by Kabbalists. The Kabbalist is a measuring device. Host, what is a homogeneous light? Rav, homogeneous light means that there are no different degrees in it. Host, but why do we always have these different lights? Light of life, light of mercy, reflected light, and so on. Rav, that's because what qualities is this light revealed in for us? Our qualities determine the light. Outside of us, there is only Atzmuto, the source, unchanging, an absolute. But everything that we attain from our qualities, that we measure it according to our own understanding and the qualities. Host, but what does it mean for the light that the light is at rest? Rav, the light is at rest means that in and of itself it doesn't change. Everything changes with respect to us. Host, can you feel the point in the heart of another person? Rav, we can feel this, sense this only after some time goes by and we unite together, the friends unite, and we separate our point in the heart from the ninth sefirot, and our points in the heart combine, they unite, and the ninth sefirot of each one, the external ones, they unite, and then we can feel the points in the heart of one another. And these points in the heart of others, they will also be like the Tan Sefirot. Host, I remember you spoke about your teacher once saying that he has a point in the heart. He would see another person and he would say he has a point in the heart. So Kabbalists can look at a person and determine if he has a point in the heart. Yes, Ralph? Yes, but the thing is, it doesn't really matter because everyone has a point in the heart. But some it's revealed, with others it's latent, it's hidden, but it will be revealed in the near future. Host, so it depends on what kind of ego it's hidden behind, right? Like, you don't know when it's going to be revealed. Rav. You just need to move forward, and the light will break through, and it will draw the point in my heart out. Host, so you don't think about what's going to happen when some people come to you, when students come to you, when you're talking to others. You don't think about these things, Rav. No, absolutely not. I don't think about who I need to give and what. I just do my job. Host, if I want to expand the perception of the world around me, why should I study Kabbalah and not anything else? Rav. Who is Yulia here? Is she the one with the braid? Which one? Oh, that one? The one in the glasses? Looking all serious? Okay. Why must you study precisely Kabbalah and nothing else? That I cannot tell you. I cannot tell you. This is your choice. In your position, I would think hard whether or not to study it. You need to think, you need to feel it with your heart. You need to feel that here you receive the right answers. They might be too sophisticated, maybe not very accessible. They might need a particular firm approach from you. There may be different things, but do you feel that here you discover the truth? This is the criteria. Does your heart understand clearly that you're getting the right answer here? You might not be understanding it fully, but here the answers are correct, and you're not being bribed by presents or paradise in the future life or punishments in hell or nothing else. You're simply offered a system of knowledge that will help you expand your sensations to such an extent that you will see behind our world a concealed upper world that will be revealed to you. Host. Well, it's interesting. You're saying to a person, you didn't come here to rest, you're coming here to work. And the person needs to say, oh, how lucky for me to come here, and now I need to work. Rav, yes, but look, you can see that she's a serious woman and that she's looking for answers. So I'm giving her the answers. So good luck to you. Stop the fight. Host. The measure who receives more light depending on their coarseness. Rav, the coarseness is always different, but not only the coarseness, but the qualities of the coarseness are different. So, there is conductor, semiconductor. There are all sorts of qualities that we don't even know in our world yet. Host, what's more important, the nodes or those kind of threads between the nodes? Rav, the threads between the nodes. The nodes don't do anything in themselves. It's the threads between them that everything is revealed there in them. Host, one of the last questions probably from Vinitsa. The requirement is to collect nine around me who want to reveal the upper force and combine or any people or those who want to attain this. Rav, those who want to attain this, that's enough. If you work with nine others who have the desire, if you're brought to some tent, some group, and there is some kind of a community society that's being formed, treat this as something that's given to you from above. The Creator is giving it to you. There's no one besides Him. So love and respect your group, your friends, and you will see the extent to which they truly are a present for you. Host. So we have a question from Bishkek. Tell us what to think throughout the day in order for us to exert the right effort. Rav, friends, I don't know what to think. Who is Andre from Bishkek? Is that him right there at the table? Okay. What can I tell you? There is a wealth of information that is put out every day. The daily lesson, Twitter, the blog, and so on. From myself personally and from other friends of ours. If you visit these pages and try to study, you're not going to have any time for anything else. So don't worry. There's enough material. There's a ton of material. You just always need to bathe in it. Try to always be in it. And all this will come. Last question then. How do we realize what actions we need to do in our world in order to be in congruence with the spiritual world? Rav, just be connected to the group. And before the American Congress, try to organize your group so that it would truly serve as the foundation for you, where you can listen and connect to this huge world kli and truly would be able to delight in the connection between it and with the Creator to be revealed in this connection. Host. So we have a few announcements. We have a crash course on the Book of Zohar, a 7-day crash course. It's not too late to start. Also, we have a Sunday club in Kiev right after the webinar you can participate in, and there will be other events as well. And, of course, 10 days from now, we have a big congress. Rav, your wishes for the week? Rav, prepare yourselves for the congress. Listen to me, friends. Prepare yourselves for the congress. Where are you going to be? Where are you going to listen? Where are you going to gather? Prepare the place. Stock up on food. Arrange everything. Settle in together. Dig yourselves in. Close in from all outside influences. And create a congress for yourself together with the American Kli and with everyone else. Moscow, St. Petersburg. Look, Plovdiv, Azerbaijan, Krasnoyarsk. Gather in all of those places. Organize a very serious system amongst you. And we will create the kind of serious system between us that the Creator, we will force the Creator to be revealed in it. So good luck to you. All the best.